Your recordings have been started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the IRTP Part D working group call on the 9th of June, 2014. On the call today, we have Holly Raich, Barbara Knight, Graham Bunton, James Fliddell, Bob Mountain, and Kristen Dorian. We have apologies from Paul Diaz. From staff, we have Lars Hoffman, Barry Cobb, Steve Chan, Amy Bivens, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Dean.
Thank you, Terry, and welcome everyone to the IRTCD working group call for June 9th. We are two meetings out from the start of ICANN 50 in London, but we have quite a bit to do, and unfortunately, as we were discussing prior to the recording starting, I may have to drop this particular call. So with that said, if anyone has any updates to their SOI, please indicate so at this time. Seeing none, does anyone have any comments or edits to our draft agenda, which is appears in the right-hand column of the Adobe chat room? Okay. With that, what I'd like to do, at least for the first part of this call, is dive into the definitions and wrap those up and put a button on these and call them done. Now, I think that we have a couple of comments here. So thank you, Holly, for that. We have, I believe, does it change to green? Yes. If you scroll down to the second page, you can see some green text that was added by ICANN staff, and I believe, Lars, this is coming from ICANN legal staff, correct?
Yeah, well, it came from me, and then ICANN legal has come over it.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay. So thanks for that clarification. So let's go through the highlights here. Not every definition was touched, and not all of them, even those that were touched, were not necessarily substantial, but we can go through them quickly and just polish them off and call them done. So, and Lars, just for the structure of the document, the staff proposals actually are a parallel or alongside the other definitions, correct?
Yeah, James, thank you. This is Lars. Yeah, what I tried to do is, following, I listened to the recording again from last week's call, and I tried to spend some time thinking about the whole conundrum that we have with gaining registrar, losing registrar, register of record, and so on and so forth, and then complainant and respondent to. And I think Christine suggested, you know, we should have in the TDIP, for example, only complainant and respondent. And then there was the question originally, too, whether complaining contains the register of record or not. And I tried to think that through a little bit. And so I only worked on those five, if you want, controversial, in inverted commas, terms. And so I pasted them after the main bit. So they're based on obviously what the group came up with first, but they're slightly altered and shortened in parts. And as I said, legal things that will make sense.
Okay. And so to be clear, you're proposing the language in green would then supplant the other definition. They're not inline edits. They are just alternative definitions.
Yeah, exactly. So what I did is, you know, if the group doesn't want to go with the suggestion that we put forward, that's absolutely fine. And then you know, we go back to the red and work on that. And that's why I didn't do an inline correction, because I wanted to, because some of it is slightly different, and so I thought it'd be easier to kind of maybe read through the green ones and see what you think of it or compare it to the red. I can also, if you want, align it next to one another and upload another document in the background if you wanted to.
I think we can scroll here. It's not too terrible. Let's just dive right in here and look at primarily focusing on these definitions and how they differ from the ones that we covered last week. I think we can get through them without too much difficulty. So the first one is registrar of record. The staff proposal is the registrar of record. I'm sorry, I should mention, I'm on the top of page two for those playing along at home. The registrar of record is the registrar who sponsors a domain at the registry. The previous was the registrar sponsoring a domain name at the registry at the time when a request for transfer sponsorship is received. I think that the staff proposal is less limiting, so I think that's fine. Certainly would open any comments or concerns from the group. I think that we should, however, note registrar who sponsors a domain name as opposed to domain at the registry. I think just maybe adding that clarification. And I got a green mark from Lars. I got two hands up. Bob, do you mind if we defer to staff and have Lars go up with this one first, and then maybe he can clear this up?
Yeah, this is Bob. I will gladly defer to staff.
Thanks. Lars, go ahead.
Thanks, James. This is Lars. I should have mentioned this beforehand. So the purpose also of these definitions, or the idea that I had behind it, is that in the IRTP, we only speak when the process is concerned, the process described, only of losing or gaining registrar. Because the register of record being, if you want, a static situation. And so once the IRTP is initiated, then we switch to either gaining or losing registrar. These are the two people that are involved. And we take the registrar of record out of the language, out of the IRTP, when the process is described. And the same goes for complainant and respondent. I mean, that's the idea the group had too, that all these different terms that are in the policy are all taken out, and we only talk about complainant and respondent. So just to bear that in mind when you go through this. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. And I think I agree that we're trying to collapse these definitions into as few as terms as possible, but that may not always be possible. Bob, you're up.
Yeah, thanks, James. This is Bob. I guess the only question I had was sponsors. Is that the appropriate? It sounds like it is. I wasn't too familiar with that term. It almost sounds promotional in nature. So I think if that's how this application commonly used, I'm okay with it. But I just wanted to throw that out there.
Thanks, Bob. I'll defer to staff on this, but I think it is because I've heard reference to registries will talk about which registrar is sponsoring a domain name or sponsorship of a domain name. So I guess the other term that we use sometimes is under management. So I don't know if if there's a preference here, if we would prefer that one. The registrar who manages the domain at the registry, I imagine the registries would assert that they manage all the registries' names, but I guess I would be looking for staff to maybe weigh in on this. I'm okay with sponsor. I don't think it's is problematic, but if we think it's unclear or could be made to be more specific, I'm open to that as well.
James, if I can just quickly chip in there. Yeah, just to say, I'm not sure about sponsoring either. I took that from the original definition that the group came up with, and I used the same verb. But I can check. I mean, maybe Barbara knows the answer, but otherwise I can check with legal too.
Thanks, Lars. And it just so happens that Barbara was next in the queue. So maybe, Barbara, if we could ask you to respond to that term before diving into your question.
Sure, James. This is Barbara for the transcript. So sponsorship is something that, historically I think has been in the documentation, and we've not had any issues with it. And it looks like Christina is indicating that it's never been a point of non-clarity in the past for them as well. So I'm fine with keeping sponsorship in there. Relative to my comments, and when I look at the top of this one, it says definitions for the inter-registrar transfer policy. I almost think that it would make sense to have the ICANN staff recommendations of the registrar record, the gaining losing registrar, and the losing registrar as definitions within that document. But I do think that perhaps the definitions for the complaint and the respondent and the complaint should then belong as additional definitions within the transfer dispute resolution policy.
Okay, thank you, Barbara. I think that's a good point, is that those particular definitions don't make any sense in the IRTP unless you view them through the lens of the TDRP, so that there should be a subset of definitions specific to that procedure.
Right, and if I could just add on to this, Barbara, again. To the extent that, we put something in there that, these are definitions that, if something is not defined in this, in the TDRP, then the definitions that are defined in the IRTP would govern, if you will.
Thank you. That makes sense.
We would have to go through a whole new set of full definitions in the TDRP.
Okay. That makes sense. Lars?
Thank you, James. This is Lars for the record. I completely agree with what Barbara just said. In fact, that's I think it's the way forward, because in the IRTP doesn't talk about a complainant and respondent. And we actually tried, on a side note, with Barry as well, when we were on the legal call, to push them towards maybe coming up with a global definition of registrar. The group last week, we found several different definitions throughout various policies, but legal was very reluctant to kind of agree or come up with a global definition across all policies and across all agreements for this term, because in the different policies they have slightly different responsibilities. And so they suggest that at this point we proceed with the definitions for the specific policy. And so, yes, absolutely, complainant and respondent should be in the TDRP definitions, and the registrar, various registrars in the IRTP. Thanks.
Thanks, Lars. Barbara, you're up next, unless that's an old hand.
Thank you, James. No, it's not an old hand. It's actually, I neglected to also comment on a comment that I inserted into my version, which is just relating to the reference to a NAC. I think those of us who are in the industry probably know what that is, but what I'm wondering is if it may make sense, since registrants, for instance, could be also reading these policies, maybe we should refer to it as, instead of a NAC, a denial of a transfer request, because I think it may be a little bit clearer to those who aren't in the industry.
Yes.
Thank you, Barbara. That's a good point. Lars, can you capture that we need to put NAC, maybe just a separate definition, NAC is a denial of a transfer request by the losing registrar. Thanks. Okay, Barry.
Thank you, James. It's Barry for the record. Just wanted to carry on to what Lars was saying. Definitely in terms of these definitions, the scope of what we're defining here will only be in reference to this policy for what we're doing now. But just to add some clarity, I do have an assignment where I'm going to at least create an inventory of where all of these terms are, more importantly, these roles are being used and which agreements and how they're being used. And at the very least, there's some sort of reference when we're doing this policy work or future policy work, and how these terms, especially if they're used similarly across other agreements and or policies, so that we try to develop some consistency and, of course, minimize the creation of new terms out of the air when we shouldn't try to leverage what already exists. So thank you.
Thanks, Barry. I think that is an excellent effort and worthwhile. Project for staff, because not only creating new terms where none are necessary and creating new acronyms, which a lot of folks have commented is a barrier to this industry, but also creating conflicts. If you reuse a definition in multiple places and you're not precisely copying it from one policy to the other, you could inadvertently introduce conflicts, and that could lead to confusion down the road. So I think that's an excellent path for staff to follow. The inventory, of course it would be. it would be an acronym of acronyms. So, so I think we've got some excellent contributions from Barbara, from Barry, from Lars, and some notes there about where these definitions fit in the vast scheme of things, and the definition of NAC, and then the caution against creating new definitions where none are needed or duplication of existing definitions. Okay, so then let's look at the next I'm sorry, Lars, were we on losing registrar then?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. So losing registrar, the registrar who is currently, and I'm reading the staff proposal first again, the losing registrar who is currently the registrar of record and receives a request for transfer of a domain name, as contrasted with the previous definition, losing registrar, the registrar of record, or the registrar previous to an alleged invalid transfer. I think that the staff cleanup here, importantly, is agnostic of any sort of dispute or complaint that would arise from TDRP or otherwise, and is just instead offering a generic term for losing registrar, recognizing that it may at some point, the losing registrar may become a claimant to a dispute, and then that would that other part of the definition would come into play. But for the most part, I think that the staff proposal is more generic. Any comments? We have a clear queue, so we'll move on then to gaining registrar. Gaining registrar, staff proposed definition, the registrar who seeks to become the registrar of record by submitting a transfer request. So my only comment here, Lars, would be that we should mirror the language as much as possible from the previous definition. So we should say, who seeks to become the registrar of record by submitting a transfer request or a request for transfer of a domain name, so that it matches the definition above it. And that's just me being a little OCD there. We have a queue popping up here. Christine, you're up first.
Hi, this is Christine from National Arbitration Forum. My brain is processing slowly this morning, so I'm very sorry. I'm going to back up the losing registrar, if that's okay. I see a problem with the definition because it says the registrar who is currently the registrar of record and receives a request for a transfer. But the losing registrar, as used in the TDRP, is also a registrar who is not currently the registrar of record, who has somehow lost the domain name and they are trying to get it back. So that would mean that they're not actually the registrar of record, unless we're talking about that person is now the gaining registrar because they're trying to get it back, which is the whole point of why I don't like talking about losing and gaining registrars, because it's, you know, once the domain name is lost, does that registrar now become the gaining registrar? So that's my confusion around this, and that's, I know, one of the things the panels have as well.
Thanks, Christine, and I think you've touched on the heart of the problem that we were having with the first definition, which is complainant or claimant. And I think that the proposal from staff, and I'm repeating what I think Lars is explaining, but I may be missing it, so I'll jump to him next. But is that we create the generic description of losing registrar first, and then when we define claimants for the TDRP for dispute, we say claimant could be a gaining registrar, could be a losing registrar, could be a previous registrar, and then we kind of broaden it from there, as opposed to trying to shoehorn too much into the losing registrar term, which is going to govern all of the transfers, even those that aren't subject to dispute. So, Lars, I don't know if I'm on the right track here with what we're trying to do, but we're trying to start off with a smaller unit or chunk of a concept, and then build on that when we define claimants. Does that?
This is Christine again. But my question is then, does that not become contradictory? Because I understand what you're trying to do, but when you read all the definitions together, you've now limited the concept of a losing registrar to the current registrar of record. And now when my panel gets the case, they're going to say, they'll understand the losing registrar is the complainant. That's fine. But then they'll say, but wait a second, the losing registrar is supposed to be currently the registrar of record. In this case, they're not currently the registrar of record because the domain name was taken from them. So they're going to be confused by that definition unless we now call that person the gaining registrar. I understand in theory what you're trying to do.
I see the point. Okay, so my recommendation, and let me see if I can fix this, but otherwise I'll go to Lars. It's the losing the registrar who was the registrar of record when it received a request for transfer of the sponsorship of the domain name, something along those lines.
Yes, I'm with you. I'm not quite sure how to make it right, but yeah, and it is currently that's the problem. Yes.
So we would say who the registrar who was, and that would cover not just the immediate transfer, but in the case of multiple hops, we could also. So I'll see if maybe Lars is going to rescue us here, Christine. Lars, go ahead.
Thanks, James. I'm not sure I'm going to rescue you. I might make it worse. So I've obviously been thinking, I mean, you know, I understand exactly where Christine comes from. The idea is that, and I don't know if it's feasible, but the idea is that in the IITP, there is no complainant, right? It just describes the process. And so you have two people that are involved, and one is at the beginning of the process, one is the registrar of record, and at the end of the process, somebody else wants to be the registrar of record. And so if then the process is not followed correctly, we have a TDRP if certain conditions are met and so forth. And then we have two other different people who are dealing with this, a complainant and a respondent. And so the idea would be that the IITP would only speak of the two terms, losing and gaining registrar, describing the process of moving a domain from one registrar to the other. And the TDRP would have a slightly different subset of definitions, namely these two complaints and respondents. And these are the only two people that we talked about. And so in this case, a complainant can be, under the previous policy, i.e. under the IITP, a losing registrar. So the one who, before being started, was holding the domain, was sponsoring the domain with the registrar name, or he can also be the gaining registrar. That was the idea. I'm not saying that makes it right the way it is, but that was the thinking behind it. And maybe it doesn't work, but I thought I'd put it out there.
So, Lars. And that's not incompatible with what Christine and I were talking. Which the problem is, it is currently. Christine, I know Bob.
I completely agree. Absolutely.
But Christine, did you want to add more on that before we go to Bob?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I think Lars, you filled in the missing language because you said the registrar who is currently or most recently was. Which most recently was the registrar of record, which doesn't really satisfy the multiple hops, but which is kind of the point that James and I were just discussing, which is, do we stick with the losing registrar as the current registrar of record, and once the domain name is quote unquote stolen away or whatever, then now that losing registrar, who was formerly the losing registrar, now becomes the would-be gaining registrar because they want the domain name back. I mean, in that case, you could almost keep these definitions. But maybe Bob is going to add something else that I haven't thought of yet.
Okay, let's go with Bob then. Bob, can you rescue us?
Yeah, I have trouble rescuing myself, so never mind a crew of others. But anyways, this is Bob. I'm actually all to gaining registrar, so if we need to bring losing registrar in for a landing, I will hold off and jump in when we're ready to advance.
Okay, thanks, Bob. Just leave your hand up, and we'll make sure that you're top of the queue when we put this one to bed. Christine, I like the idea, and I think you've hit on a very important part here, which is currently. So I like the idea of changing that. If we can smooth out the language of, and I see some draft language from Lars in the chat, so I'll read that out. How about the losing registrar is the registrar who is the registrar of record at the time the request for transfer of a domain name is submitted. I think so. I think that's closer. I still would like to try and get past tense in there because I think it is, versus was is an important distinction here because if the transfer has already occurred, then it would, so I think Christine is responding to that point in the chat as well. Why not just switch out your proposed language, Lars, with switch out the is to the was, and I think we've got it. Any thoughts here? I got a green from Lars on that one. Christine, does that address your concern if we took Lars' language and we swap the is for the was?
Okay, so yeah, that handles the most recent hop. What if there's multiple hops?
Well, I think in that particular case, it still works. And let me see if I can explain. Because if you say, I am disputing the transfer, the transfer that that is under dispute, that the losing registrar would have been the registrar of record when that disputed transfer request was submitted, even if other transfer requests were processed subsequently.
So what if you change that and then you added a word that I like, which is referencing the disputed transfer. So if you have multiple hops, you've got one primary transfer that's the subject of dispute, right?
Correct. And I think
so maybe.
Covered. Go ahead.
So maybe we're talking about this registrar who is or was the registrar of record at the time the disputed request for transfer, or the disputed transfer occurred.
I think that's perfect. However, I think going back to Lars's point, I think we should capture that in the definition for claimant, not in the definition for losing registrar. But you're saying that that's going to confuse panelists?
Well, it seems like the panels are going to look for to the sort of cross. Are the definitions going to be compatible with one another? And they're going to say, and what happened, and this is what currently happens. I'm going this now because when I talk to panelists who have TDRP cases, I will tell you we spend most of our time discussing the definition of losing registrar and gaining registrar. They've got the whole, like, legal part down. It's the terms that really confuse them. So trying to make it clear that the losing registrar is not only the most recent registrar of record or the current registrar of record, but might be one farther back in the hops. It has to do with the dispute over a particular transfer. So I want to just make it as clear as possible. I'm not hearing anything. Did I just get deleted?
I'm sorry. I was talking. I added a wonderful soliloquy there into the mute button. So.
Can we hear it now?
No. We'll just be an abbreviation. Let's put a place mark here. I think that we've got some working language. Let's go through the rest of these. We'll probably reopen this bit when we get to complainant. I can understand the desire to both. The competing desires, I think, sometimes to keep these as simple as possible, but also make them as clear as possible and to cover all possible contingencies. So let's keep this in mind when we come to complainant or claimant, because I think that's coming up next, and I think we will definitely, we'll smack our heads into this again at that point. So let's move then to the next one, gaining registrar. And Bob, I know you had your hand up and then you put your hand down, but I didn't want to dissuade you from chiming in here, even though we've had a little bit more time than we thought on losing registrar.
No, not at all. No, I think I've upon further review, I think I'm splitting here, so I sort of talked myself out of my question. So we're good to go.
Okay, Bob, thanks. Fair enough. And certainly don't feel like the door is closed if you want to jump back in a little bit later. Did anyone else have any other thoughts on gaining registrar, which is, and just to review, it's the registrar who seeks to become the registrar of record by submitting a transfer request. And my only request to staff was to mirror the language above. So that whatever we land on with losing registrar, it looks very similar down below with gaining registrar. MCQ. So we'll move then to, I think, the last one, and this is the big one, right, Lars? Is this the last one? Yeah. So this one is claimant. They changed complainant to claimant. And that is, and I'll just go through here, the party bringing a complaint under this policy, and this policy at this point is the TDRP, I believe, not the not just the IRTP. A complainant or claimant may be either a losing registrar in the case of an alleged fraudulent transfer or a gaining registrar in the case of an improper NAC under this policy. So here's where I think we've got a couple of issues. First off, Christine is noting in the chat that she prefers the term complainant rather than claimant. I tend to agree, and I think that's a little more consistent as well. But here's where I think we can address Christine's concern that losing registrar, we need to clarify that losing registrar at the time the losing registrar involved in the disputed transfer or the gaining registrar in the case of an improper NAC / denial of transfer. Who else could be the claimant? It's really just those two parties, correct? I'm surprised. I don't see any hands here. There's Lars. Go ahead.
Just to say that, because the group obviously discussed this before, and I pointed this out to legal, and they could not think of a scenario where this wasn't true. And when you read the respondent, in fact, I added to that, the respondent is the registrar of record under this policy. And again, they said they, you know, it immediately raised flags for them, but they couldn't find any cases where that wasn't true in the TDRP, obviously.
Thanks, Lars. So my take on this is, first off, I don't really have an issue with complainant versus complainant. I like complainant a little bit better. I think it's fine if we say that the complainant may either be the losing registrar in the case of an alleged fraudulent transfer or the gaining registrar in the case of improper NAC under this policy. But obviously a transfer, there has to be two parties on either end of a transfer, and if that is the transfer that's under dispute, then these are the two parties that were involved, and that either side could raise the complaint. I will say, however, I do not like the definition for a respondent. When you say the respondent is the registrar of record under this policy, it does not allow for the multi-hop scenario in which the domain name has since transferred to a third registrar and that registrar is currently the registrar of record, but the respondent to the complaint is the second registrar. The losing registrar was the complainant, the responding registrar was the second registrar, the registrar of record is the third registrar. So that, unless I'm missing something huge, I think staff the definition from staff here is missing that scenario. Christine, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Christine from NAP. Yeah, so with respect to the respondent, I like the complainant definition. I'm still pondering the idea of trying to resolve the definition of losing registrar with that, but that be that as it may, moving on to respondent, I think there is a significant concern with what you just stated, James, because the respondent, particularly from a policy, from the provider standpoint, you have to go against the person that's holding the domain name still, even in a multi-hop, because the remedy is to transfer the domain name, and the remedy is going to order the respondent to take some action. Right? So if there's three hops and the second hop was, or the first hop was the invalid one, I'm sorry? Oh, the first hop was the invalid one, and then two more hops happened after that. The first two parties could have a dispute against one another, but the panel can't order that new or that second registrar to give the domain name back to the first registrar because that second registrar no longer has it. So ultimately, at the end of the day, the only registrar that can do anything is that the final registrar that holds it. They have to fix the problem ultimately at the end of the day, unless I'm clearly misunderstanding something. So ultimately, I don't think that although the other intervening steps may have been fraudulent and bad and wrong, and those parties may have to be brought in to explain their actions, the order can only go between the two parties, and if we don't have the party that currently holds the domain name in front of us, then the whole purpose is for naught.
Okay, so let me see if I've got this. And I put myself in the queue because I want to both try to address that, but also put a different spin on this, and that's a registrar. So suppose, I think you've touched on something important here. And I think the answer that we may not like is that there may actually be multiple parties, more than two, involved in a complaint. Because if I am hypothetically holding a domain name as a registrar, call me Registrar C, and I find out that prior to transferring the domain name from Registrar B to my registrar, Registrar C, that there was a previous transfer between Registrar A and B, and that transfer is under dispute, how can I possibly be a respondent on the actions on the appropriateness or the legitimacy of the actions that were taken on the part of Registrar B? And the answer is I can't without somehow involving Registrar B in this process. I understand what you're saying, Christine, is that ultimately Registrar B's actions may require that I, Registrar C, take the domain name and transfer it back to Registrar A, but I don't know that I can respond on their behalf. So I'm a little confused on that regard, and so I think that respondent.
Yeah, I agree that everybody has to be involved.
Right. So I think respondent. We can't leave the registrar of record out of the picture because they're the ones that are going to have to enforce the decision. So they have to be part of it. We can't leave the, I don't know what we call them. The gaining registrar of the alleged fraudulent transaction. Something like that are also going to have to be involved here because they're the ones that have the FOA, for example, or they're the ones that are going to be able to determine, provide the documentations and authorizations necessary to demonstrate that the transfer was or was not legitimate. So that I think if Lars, I don't know if this is making sense, but I think that the definition from staff is missing some important components here. I'll put my hand down and go to Christine.
Hi, thanks, James. This is Christine. I completely agree, and this brings me to a new sort of epiphany here, that I think the actual policy itself, not the definitions, needs to include a sort of mandate or requirement, because this is a consensus policy that would apply to all the registrars, that if you are named as an intervening registrar in one of these multi-hop transfers, you do have an obligation to respond to a panel request for information about these other hops. I mean, the complainant may not be able to, or whoever is involved may not be able to step forward and know who all the registrars are or whatever, but if the panel has the authority to, to make inquiries and figure out who the people are who have been involved in the hops, then they can go in and do some investigation and get some information. So we probably need to make that a requirement that all the registrars that had touched the domain name in between are required to provide information.
Let me think on that for a minute. And let's suppose that they didn't. Isn't that just a forfeiture or default?
Yeah, I would think that as with UDRP, it's like the panel can infer, any sorts of, not bad faith or not bad faith as a result of failing to respond. I don't know what position that puts the parties in. I mean, does that make it harder for the person saying my domain name was fraudulently transferred away when intervening bad faith actor registrar, you know, not only did this bad faith transfer, but then also quickly transferred it away. I mean, not saying it's always the registrar's fault. I'm just, like, putting a hypothetical out there. And then didn't reply to the TDRP request against them. So, you know, I don't know if that puts, you know, our party A in a rough spot, but there should at least be some sort of mandate that they reply, because, you know, we could go there. We could say, let's say they don't reply. Is that a compliance issue then? I mean, as with UDRP, if the registrar doesn't reply.
I think this is a much bigger issue, Christine, and maybe we can circle back after we tackle the definition of who the respondents are, and then we can talk about what their responsibilities are as far as replying. My concern is that if I'm obligated to reply to something and I lose a proceeding based on failure to respond, then that means that I am guilty until I demonstrate my innocence in some respects, as opposed to saying I don't believe that this claim has any merit, and I'm confident that the panelists will define that. I think it's a bigger issue than just compelling a party to respond.
But you have to remember all those intervening registrars won't have anything to lose. They already don't have a domain name, so they don't have a stake in the game at this point.
I think that's correct, and I also believe that that's true of the registrar of record in a multi-hop scenario, and I also believe that anything that we could ask of them would probably shed very little light on that original transfer, which did not involve them in the first place. So I don't know that they would have anything valuable to contribute. But I feel like this is important, but it's not exactly what we're trying to capture with the definition of respondent.
Absolutely. I was throwing that out there as just something that occurred to me. If we could later.
Yeah, please don't lose it, especially as we start to put the finishing touches on our final report. But I think that, you know, first we can kind of capture who the respondents are, and then we can move to, what they must do and what their responsibilities are. So, so we're back to respondent, and we're saying here that the respondent is the registrar of record under this policy. And I think that we need to expand that to include the multi-hop. So a party against which a complaint is brought, the respondent is the registrar of record under this. So can we say something like this? A party against which the complaint is brought, comma, or the registrar and or the registrar of record. The respondent can include, or the respondent will also include the losing registrar at the time of alleged, and then we go back to what we were saying before, alleged fraudulent transfer. Or gaining registrar as an alleged fraudulent transfer. It's tortured, but I think you see what we're trying to build upon the complainant. We just want to have the mirror image of complainant, but we want to make sure that registrar of record is included in there as well. So we could say something like, if we wanted to mirror it, the party responding to a complaint under this policy, the respondent may be either a losing registrar in the case of an improper NAC, or a gaining registrar in the case of an alleged fraudulent transfer, and the registrar of record. So I'm basically taking the previous definition of complainant and flipping it inside out. Christine?
Yep, I think that sounds great. And I was actually, before you read that into the record, which I do agree with, I was going to suggest something even more generic, which is just the first sentence, a party against which the complaint is brought. Once you've defined the complainant, in my mind, the converse automatically flips. So as to the respondent, I just wanted to throw out there that it's possible to be even more generic, but I do not disagree with what you suggested, so we can leave it at that.
Okay. And I think the only difference was I was trying to capture that there might be one complainant, but there could be two or more respondents. But that's okay. I think we've got it. Lars, I think we're closing in here. I don't know if you were able to capture all that. Oh, green check marks. Love green check marks. Okay. So that is the definitions, except for one more, and this is the one I actually had to comment on. And hopefully it's, you know, I don't get too much pushback from staff, but when they note down here that the registrant is the individual, I'm reading now the footnote of proposed definition of registrant. The registrant is the individual or organization that registers a specific domain name. The individual organization holds the rights to use that specific domain name for a specified period of time, provided certain conditions are met and the registration fees are paid. The person or organization is the legal entity bound by the terms of the relevant service agreement with the registry operator for the TLD in question. For the purpose of this policy, the registrant is also the only individual or organization that, along with the administrative contact, can authorize a registrar transfers and otherwise disposition the use of the domain name. The registrant supersedes the administrative contact in case of disagreement. The registrant's transfer authorizing power does not supersede any obligations or actions resulting from possible legal proceedings. So here's my issue with this. Oh, I'm sorry. I see Barbara's hand up. Go ahead and go first there, Barbara.
Thank you, James. You may be getting ready to say some of what I'm planning to say, but when I read through that, which is italicized, and I see that it's actually an excerpt from the existing TDRP, it concerns me. It says that this person or organization is the legal entity bound by the terms of the relevant service agreement with the registry operator for the TLD in question. Registry operators don't have agreements directly with registrants. I think that should be a registrar agreement.
Bingo. That was one of the first things I was going to pick up on as well, Barbara, which is that we need to say under the terms of the registration agreement, which is, I believe, how it's referred to in the RAA, with the registrar. You know, and I think, Lars, we can probably just massage that a little bit, but I think the switch here is that it should be the registrar's registration agreement, not the relevant service agreement with the registry operator. Another point that I was going to raise is that we said essentially the registrant registers a specific domain name. I don't like that. Sometimes domain names are acquired differently. They don't register them. They're acquired via an aftermarket. They're acquired as part of another product set, like a website or web building tool or something along those lines. What I propose is the registrant is the individual or organization, and then we take out everything and skip all the way down to that holds the right to use a specific domain name for a specified period of time. So I don't like the bit about registers a domain name, and then I think that we can just skip all the way down. So I got a green check mark on that from Christine and a green from Lars, which might be an old green, and then a green from Barbara. Oh, lots of greens. Okay. And then
Angie agrees.
Angie, thank you, Angie. We'll take that as a verbal green. And then going down to the bit here where it talks about the registrant's authority to transfer as well as the administrative contact, I don't disagree with anything that's written here. I just feel like it's very, very redundant given that all of this is explained in the definition of transfer contact that already appears in the IRTP and also describes the different authorities where the registrant supersedes the admin contact as far as transfer contact. So I don't really have a problem with it. I just question whether or not it's necessary to add that, to repeat that here. So that's I'll lower my hand here and see. Does anyone else have any thoughts or questions or concerns about the definition of registrants? The queue is clear, and with that, I think that means that we have we have you know, slain this dragon, and we have completed the review of our definition. So we've got 8 minutes left in our call. I think we'll just go to Christine here. You'll have the last word, and then we'll wrap up and get ready for next week. Christine?
Hi, thanks. Christine from NAF. Just a quick question on the definition of transfer policy at the bottom. Are we going to change that to, say, IRTP or something like that, so we understand that that this is now referred to as the IRTP, or was that not going to happen? I thought for somewhere we talked about defining IRTP, or maybe Holly has that comment at the very top of the document, and I think that the word where we talk about transfer policy, that's a perfect place for it.
I tend to agree that needs to be cleaned up, and if we leave that language in, then it should reference IRTP and not transfer policy. Barbara.
This is Barbara for the transcript. I actually was just going to lower my hand because I agree with what you all were saying, and I kind of penciled in some modifications to the definition, but it sounds like we're working on it elsewhere, so I can send them along if you want.
Okay, thank you. There were a couple of other definitions there after the green bit, but my understanding, Lars, please correct me if I'm wrong, is those were untouched, and those are the definitions that we agreed upon during our last call. So, okay, green lights there. So, all right, thanks, everyone, for this. I think it was good. It was an important exercise. Understanding it did consume, quite a bit of our call time, but it is, definitions are... Anybody who's, worked on these policies or tried to implement them later or tried to determine whether someone is implementing them or following them correctly knows that definitions are 90% of the game sometimes. So I think it's good that we spent some time on this and think of it as an investment in reducing ambiguity for future generations of people involved with transfers and transfer disputes. So hopefully that helps. I would ask Lars to, in the next day or so, to circulate a clean copy of the definitions so that we can all just take one last look at them and kind of sign off and give our green check marks to those. Unless there's something that has really gone off the rails, I do not recommend that we spend any time on definitions next week. I think that we're finally to the point where all the definitions work can continue just on the list. If there's any polishing that still needs to be done. So next week is the 16th, and we will have our last meeting prior to the point where everybody departs for ICANN London, for those who are going. Perhaps we can get an understanding on the list of who will and will not be in attendance at ICANN 50 in London. So maybe we can take that as an action item as well, Lars, just to get an idea of the size of the group, if we haven't already done that, and we will begin with some of our outstanding items relative to the public comments received, and we'll start taking a look at our final report and how that's coming together. I don't think on the 16th that we'll be ready for a read through, but hopefully we can at least agree upon some of the language that will need to be inserted or modified as a result of the public comments. And at that point, we'll then be prepared to really just kind of sand down the rough edges after coming out of London and put the final report front and center for some of the first early meetings in July. So that's the proposed schedule. Thank everyone for your time and your and your attention to the details in these definitions. I think we arrived at a good place. Thank you to staff as well, because I know that this has been an iterative process for Lars and legal as well. So thanks, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks, James.
Thanks.
Once again, that does conclude today's conference. Please disconnect all remaining lines.